Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation that is going to be observing a great anniversary surprisingly soon. We're talking about just 3 years from now. We will be approaching a 4th of July that is very, very meaningful, the 4th of July of 250 years of independence for the United States. There was also a Independence Day that didn't get quite as much attention as I would have expected, which was the 75th Independence Day of the State of Israel, which occurred in May of this year. And again, when people were looking at this newly created entity, to see Israel as it is today with almost 10 million people in population, and in fact, most of the Jewish people in the world today live in Israel, which was part of the original Zionist dream. But what can somehow rejuvenate this 75-year-old state? That is a question that Michael Oren has put before the State of Israel, the Jewish people, and by implication, the United States of America as well. How do you rejuvenate a state? And rejuvenate means to make it young again. Michael Oren is perpetually young, despite the fact that he is a historian, a statesman, and an Israeli leader who served as Israel's ambassador to the United States, as a member of Knesset, and as deputy minister of diplomacy in the prime minister's office. Michael, congratulations on the new book. The book is called The Rejuvenated State. What led you to believe that the State of Israel, which according to most reports is doing fairly well, needs rejuvenation?
Well, first of all, Michael, thank you for having me back on the show. It's always a delight and an honor to be with you. The book began as a conversation between myself and the prime minister, the current prime minister as well, Netanyahu, about 5 years ago, where we lamented the fact that Israelis are so bogged down in dealing with their daily crisis. We never think about tomorrow, certainly not about, you know, the next 25 years. And those of us who remember Israel's 50th anniversary know that those 25 years can pass very, very quickly. And it's significant that not much attention, as you said, was paid to the 75th birthday of the State of Israel, because we were so bogged down in crises, a great crisis over judicial review, over the role of the ultra-Orthodox population in our state, many, many controversies. And I've learned by studying Israeli history, if we don't begin to address these issues today, by our 100th anniversary, we will be in much, much more difficult circumstances, and perhaps not even be able to celebrate that anniversary at all. So I set out on this project to look at Israel's future in all of its aspects, our social programs, our educational programs, our foreign policy, our relations with the United States, our relations with American Jewry, with America, with our Arab population, with the Palestinians, every possible field, to be very, very candid, to be policy-driven, and to get people, Israelis, Americans, involved in a discussion about our future. Because, again, if we don't just start discussing it now, we may not be able to have that opportunity to discuss it in 25 years from now.
The book is also published in three languages. It's published in English and in Hebrew and in Arabic. Does this mean the fact that you're publishing this book looking at Israel for the next 25 years in Arabic as well, that you believe that there will not be some kind of negotiated settlement involving an independent Palestinian state?
Well, I probably don't think there's going to be an independent negotiation because I've been involved in the peace process, as we call it, for about 30 years, and I've reached some conclusions that there's really no solution, but there's better management. But that doesn't alter the fact that 21% of our population is Arab. These are Israeli Arabs who are Israeli citizens. And they're not going anywhere, and we have to begin to address that situation as well. So it was important for me to put the book out in Arabic. It is a statement recognizing this reality and proposing ways that we can deal with it. Not all those ways will be very acceptable to Israeli Arabs. I hope most of them will make it acceptable. I call it, interestingly enough, I call it the New Deal, Michael. I use an American political term. And the New Deal states very simply that Israel will fight discrimination, will fight inequality in the workplace, in the media, in the education, in the classroom, very Churchillian, to the best degree possible. But in return, Israeli Arabs have to be loyal citizens, a loyal minority within a nation state. And there are vast majority of states in the world are nation states. They have large non-national minorities. And the example I give in the book are Jews in Great Britain who salute a flag that has not one but three crosses on it and sing a national anthem to the head of the Church of England. God save that king. Israeli Arabs can do the same.
You're not suggesting they sing God Save the King, but you are suggesting they sing Hatikva.
I suggest that the Arabs sing Hatikva, certainly. If Anglo-Jews can sing God Save the Queen or God Save the King, then yes, they can sing Hatikva. And they can salute our flag. And by the way, you know, the Magen David, the shield of David, the Star of David, has a long history in the Muslim world as well.
I didn't know that. What is the history in the Muslim world of the Star of David?
You can find it on the walls of the old city.
Wow.
It wasn't known as the shield of David, but a Muslim, that particular 6-pointed star can. Yes, it is.
In terms of right now, there was a piece in the New York Times today that everybody seems to be a bit relieved that the judicial reform that was such a polarizing and such a divisive issue in the state of Israel, with huge demonstrations, some for, some against the judicial reform, is that going to be worked out? Is that part of the rejuvenation of the state?
Well, it's interesting. I wrote this book several years ago, and it has a chapter on the need to reform the judicial system, particularly the Supreme Court. And it wasn't rocket science, Michael. We saw this happening. We saw a Supreme Court where the judges were chosen overwhelmingly by other jurists and its sitting Supreme Court justices, not by the people, as is in the United States. When you vote for the president, you vote for the Senate. And so in terms of its worldview, the Supreme Court was pretty much marching in place circa 1992, but the Knesset, of course, reflecting public opinion, had moved significantly to the right, so the distance between them had become untenable. The Supreme Court was turning down Knesset bills over and over and over again, and we knew eventually this would break. So I proposed ways of reforming the Supreme Court, but in a way that preserved the principle of judicial review, which is, I believe, is a pillar of any democratic system where the Supreme Court has the final word. Along came the government and proposed many reforms, but did not preserve the position, the principle of judicial review. And that's what brought many people out in the street, that there was no longer an effective check on government. And there may be some compromise moved out. It's not, as I said, it's not very complicated, these compromises. If you have the political will, they can be reached. We just see now a government which doesn't really have a captain at its helm. Netanyahu is having great trouble controlling this coalition. And that would militate against a government that can make that type of compromise, because I'm sure that Netanyahu wants to make that compromise. He wants to address other issues, the Israeli economy, which has immense challenges, the Iranian nuclear issue, and our relationship with the United States, and hopefully someday establishing relationship with Saudi Arabia.
And what about relationships with the Palestinians living in what are called the West Bank, or the Palestinians, for that matter, living in Gaza? We will get to those questions with Michael Oren, former ambassador from the State of Israel to the United States. He has a brand new book called The Rejuvenated State. which looks at what Israel should be like 25 years from now for its 100th anniversary. We'll talk about what rejuvenation can mean for the United States as well with Michael Oren coming up.
The Michael Medved Show. All across America, this is The Michael Medved Show.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news. On the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
And speaking with Ambassador Michael Oren, who for several memorable years did an outstanding job as ambassador of the State of Israel to the United States. I first met Michael when he was an active duty officer in the IDF and the Israeli Defense Forces during one of our trips to Israel. He has been a member of Knesset and also Deputy Minister of Diplomacy in the Prime Minister's office. He also is a graduate of Princeton University and Columbia University, and considered to be one of the leading historians of the Middle East in general. And in that context, his latest book is called The Rejuvenated State, which takes a look at imagining changes in the State of Israel and in the world over the next 25 years between the 75th anniversary of Israel, which occurred a couple of weeks ago, and the 100th anniversary, which we should all be able to live to see. Michael, what would be, do you guess, the most unrecognizable feature for people living today of an Israel coming up in 2048, which is only 25 years from now? And what would be the biggest change that you would imagine people would notice in the United States? A double question.
Well, a country that would have a peaceful relationship with the great number of its neighbors. People have gotten used to this notion of the Arab-Israeli conflict, and there really almost is no Arab-Israeli conflict today. There's an Iranian-Israel conflict today, and there's an Israeli-Palestinian conflict today. But we're hard-pressed to point out the Arab-Israeli conflict. You know, when we were younger, Michael, the thought that Egyptian or Jordanian tanks can rumble through Tel Aviv was not such a wild notion. Today it's completely, completely unthinkable. That would not be recognized. In Israel that remains a world leader in innovation, an Israel that remains unstintedly a democratic, and a nation that has resolved the deep or built bridges over the deep social gaps within the country. We have a
Michael, I think we're having a little bit of tough time with the connection. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Just barely.
Hold on. Is that better?
Yes.
Better. Okay, let's try it again. I wonder where we left off, but what would
That's
be unrecognizable about Israel in the future would be a country that is at peace with its neighbors, a country that remains unstintingly democratic, and that has succeeded in bridging the social gaps that today deeply divide Israel between rich and poor, Jews from Eastern backgrounds, Western backgrounds, religious and secular, and of course Arab and Jew.
And what about that religious and secular difference? The birth rate is much higher, particularly among what people call the ultra-Orthodox or the Haredim in Israel. And right now it's already a growing part of the population. What's the best estimate for the future, given that likely increase in the percentage of religiously committed people?
Well, the best guess would be that that population, which in 25 years will double itself, so that half the elementary school population of Israel in 2048 will be ultra-Orthodox. And the big question is, what education would those young people be getting? Will they be receiving, in addition to their Jewish education, a modern secular education, English, mathematics, that would enable those young people, when they graduate, to integrate into the economy? Right now, that population is not getting that education, and there will become an insufferable burden on the rest of the society. People who are paying the taxes, who are defending the country, at some point are going to say, we're just not going to do this anymore. And the population is also, the Haredi, ultra-Orthodox population, is expanding far faster than even the Israeli economy can keep up with. And eventually the entire edifice may come collapsing. The best way to deal with this is not to let it collapse and not get to that point where Israelis are fed up and they leave, but ensure that young Haredi children, students, can receive that modern education.
And in terms of the national service?
It would be very nice to have national service as well. And it doesn't have to be carrying a gun. It could be national service working in a community, working in a hospital, working in a forest, working in a kindergarten. Many opportunities for national service. And, you know, there's a debate that I talk about in the book about whether the Israeli army should be like the American army, a volunteer army. And my own experience is to say that, that would be a disaster for the state of Israel. And that instead of trying to make the Israeli army all volunteer, we should expand the civil nature of the Israeli army. We are a citizens' army, and make it truly a citizens' army. Right now, only about 60% of Israelis serve in that citizens' army. We have to get it up around 90%.
And here in the United States, we have terrible recruiting problems just keeping the levels of military strength we have now. What do you see as the likely changes in the United States, best-case scenario and worst-case scenario, for U.S. changes in the next 25 years?
Well, the two changes that I would very much want to see, and they're really inseparable, it's the same change, is that Americans would come together. They don't have to agree on everything or almost anything. It doesn't matter. They see that they believe that they have a common destiny, that they believe in the United States, that it's they believe in American values, that they believe that those values are worth defending in the world, and they believe that America's position in the world is vital. And that other change would be an outpouring of that, would be a byproduct, would be that America would return to be the leader of the free world and not leave vacuums around the world that are filled up with bad actors. And that's what we have seen again and again. And that type of America is a paramount national interest for Israel, not only for Israel, it's for other countries, whether it's Japan, South Korea, Germany. We all miss the United States and look forward to its return.
Do you believe that 25 years from now there will be an independent nation allied with the West called Ukraine?
I think there's a good chance. I think that the Ukrainians are battling mightily. I don't know what the borders of that state look like. I don't think it's going to be taken over by Russia. And
God willing. Michael Oren, his new book is called The Rejuvenated State, and it takes a look at in 2048 what the state of Israel could, might, should look like. Appreciate. We'll have information about that posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. Meanwhile, there are many Americans who are deeply obsessed not with our future but with our past. Big moves toward reparations in California, of course, and also now in New York State. We will get to that controversy raging and more coming up on the Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America.
It's an honor to talk to you because I think you got the best talk show in the United States.
Thank you. I agree.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. A 37-count federal indictment has become a major fundraiser for former President Trump. The campaign has raised more than $6.5 million since news of the indictment last week. Wildfire smoke is once again blanketing the U.S. upper Midwest. The National Weather Service meteorologist Craig Kogel says the smoke will linger for a few more days.
At least through the end of the work week here and maybe into the very first part of the weekend.
The wildfires in Canada have resulted in record levels of air contamination in Minnesota's Twin Cities, with the air quality index reaching a level never seen since records have been kept. The debut of newly restored Walt Disney Animation Studio shorts is part of Disney's 100th anniversary celebration in 2023. The more than two dozen shorts will date as far back as 1927 will begin airing on the streaming service Disney Plus beginning on July 7th. Dave Collins, USA News.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
And on the Michael Medved Show, with so many controversies roiling the United States, not all of them surrounding Donald Trump, though I'm sure that on the issue that I'm about to open up, President Trump has strong feelings. And I would assume that he would agree with most Americans that the idea of spending literally trillions of dollars on reparations for slavery is not a good idea. There's a powerful piece by Jason Riley that appeared in the Wall Street Journal under the heading, Reparations for Slavery, California's Bad Idea Catches On. And he points out something that has not been in the news. And by the way, it has not been in the news because this issue is one that the Democrats do not want to talk about honestly. They keep talking about setting up commissions to study reparations, but they won't come forward with a real proposal for reparations because it's wildly unpopular. And yes, it's a terrible idea. Last week, New York voted to follow California down the slavery reparations rabbit hole, writes Jason Riley in the Wall Street Journal. Nutty ideas that originate in the Golden State often spread to other parts of the country over time. So the development isn't too surprising, and more states are sure to follow. But it is another indication that the progressive left isn't interested in getting past race, and that social justice, in practice, amounts to little more than a power grab. New York State lawmakers concluded the legislative session on Thursday, that's of last week, by creating a commission to study the lingering effects of slavery. California set up a reparations task force in 2020, and last month the state legislature voted to make direct cash payments to black descendants of slaves that could amount to $1.2 million per person. So everybody's going to be going to Ancestry.com or to 23andMe or somewhere to try to trace your own background to. That's not going to be good enough. Neither Kathy Hochul nor Gavin Newsom, the Democratic governors of New York and California, have committed to signing off on this nonsense. Yet it's notable that proponents have moved the ball this far. California never was a slave state. California was admitted to the Union in 1850, and it was controversial at the time because the southern states did not want a non-slave state like California to come into the Union. The New York also outlawed slavery in 1827, long before the Civil War. But the absurdities of these proposals don't end there. Slavery was an atrocity, but all the slaves and all the slaveholders are long gone. Furthermore, the vast majority of whites living in the antebellum period, even in the South, never owned slaves. Most white Americans today are descendants of people who came to the U.S. after the Civil War. Proponents of reparations want people who aren't even descendants of slave owners in the U.S. to compensate black people who were never slaves. Progressives insist that there is a direct link between the past mistreatment of blacks and black outcomes today, but that claim is undermined by the experience of other groups. Chinese and Japanese Americans were also mistreated in the U.S. They were lynched. They were placed in internment camps. They were forced to attend segregated schools and denied property rights. Yet today, both Asian groups outperform white Americans academically and economically and have done so for decades. Conversely, according to the most recent Bureau of Labor Statistics report, median black weekly earnings are slightly higher than those of Hispanics, yet no one would argue that Hispanics have experienced more discrimination in the U.S. than blacks. In other words, the success or failure that people experience, it's not productive to blame it on the past or to blame it on other people. The Great Society programs, writes Jason Riley, implemented under President Lyndon B. Johnson, subsidized counterproductive behavior that took a huge toll on the black family. Subsequently, many of the positive trends among blacks in the first two-thirds of the 20th century, from declining crime rates to educational and economic gains that were narrowing the gap with whites, either stalled or reversed course. Compensating blacks today, he writes, for this suffering of their ancestors wouldn't be just. It would be corrupt. When you trade on the past victimization of your own people, you trade honor for dollars, Shelby Steele writes. And this trading is only uglier when you are a mere descendant of those who suffered, but nevertheless prevailed. And then there is another piece about the latest news in California about where they're going with the reparations proposal. The first reparations task force in the nation exploring how a state would make reparations to black Americans hurt by slavery and discrimination is set to issue a 1,000-page report, oh no, to the California legislature this month. I'm sure every legislator will read it, right? Following 2 years of work, the task force is likely to suggest dozens of measures that would cost hundreds of billions of dollars. Actually, the best estimates have been trillions of dollars. State political leaders, including black legislators who support reparations, say it could take years for many of the task force's recommendations to be adopted. Direct financial compensation to black Californians, they say, might not happen at all. I'm not going to sit here and make the promise that everybody's going to get a check, said State Senator Steve Bradford, a Democrat on the task force. I want people to have a broader view of what reparations could be and a greater acceptance that it might take a little time. The Legislative Black Caucus, which includes Bradford, is expected to lead any effort to act on the task force's recommendations. While many members have said that they support monetary reparations, some have also said programs to help black descendants of slaves access higher education, buy a home, or start a business may be more feasible in the short term. The problem is it's not feasible. The population of California, it's really worth remembering. California is today 6% black, 5.7%. It is 16% Asian. There are about three times the percentage of Asians as blacks in California. There are 39.4% Latinos, 34.7% whites. That's the makeup of California. Is it fair to ask Latinos who have faced their own struggles in the Golden State, or Asians who were terribly victimized by discrimination and not allowed to own property and subjected to riots and lynchings and more? Asian Americans are three times more common in California than black people. Is it fair to transfer money? Because all of these suggestions, when you use the term reparations, they say, well, it's not going to be a simple check. You're not going to get that $1.2 million check that they write about. But the point is, it still basically takes the idea and says, despite the American dream that says you can be who you want to be and what you want to be, you are going to be a prisoner of the past. And then, by the way, the latest in California is all you have to do is show that you had people who lived in the state before 1900. And that means you could have come to California long after slavery. And yes, there was still discrimination of all kinds. It's a terrible idea. So are some of the ideas about handling the future of the charges against President Trump. We will get to that coming up on the MedVet Show.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
This is a dietary supplement. It is totally natural. I wouldn't be without it. I take it every day. It's gotten me through the hard days of winter and pandemic and more, and helps you feel better, whether it's aches and pains or Relief Factor can help. It's made from natural products, including turmeric and fish oil, that is all blended together in a proprietary blend that actually works for people around the world. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, but above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there's a great deal of writing from every side and a great deal of analysis because there, let's face it, a lot of lawyers in this country taking a look at the upcoming trial. And if we will have an upcoming trial, we spoke earlier today to Andy McCarthy of National Review, an experienced Justice Department veteran, a federal prosecutor, who basically says that the way that these things go, he thinks it's unlikely that there ever will be a trial, partially because President Trump is going to be working with a judge he appointed, and he appointed Judge Aileen Cannon after he had lost the election. It was during that lame duck period where he got in a few last appointments. She was one of the last appointments he made, and it really was the luck of the draw that she has been assigned this particular trial. Now there are all kinds of Democrats who are claiming that she should recuse herself. I'm not sure that's an effective argument. I'm not sure that that will happen. I think it probably will not happen. But what is entirely possible is that the trial would be profoundly delayed and that it's not going to open up at any time before the election. And that means is probably it won't happen. Why not? Well, because obviously if President Trump wins the election, he controls the Justice Department. He appoints a brand new attorney general who thanks the special prosecutors and takes away the federal part of the charges against President Trump. Then, of course, he has some local prosecutors he has to deal with in New York State and in Georgia elsewhere. But don't you suspect that if President Trump wins the election, that would be more important, certainly for the country, and probably more useful for President Trump than winning a unanimous vote of the jury? He will go on to other things and to other challenges as president. If he loses the election, and this is the interesting part that I hadn't really thought about until speaking to Andy McCarthy, who's a great friend of this show. The idea of Joe Biden winning the election, which also could happen. Does Joe Biden really want the first year of his second term to be taken up with an obsession on Donald Trump? Or wouldn't there be a tremendous temptation and all kinds of good reasons for Joe Biden to go ahead and issue a full blanket pardon that would allow the country to change the subject? And that could come especially easily if President Trump, if he does lose the election, handles it more graciously and more constructively than he handled his loss last time. And yes, of course he did lose last time. There's a piece by Peter Weber that appeared in The Week, which is under the heading, How Trump Can Avoid Prison in the Secret Documents Case. And they talk about various ways and strategies that he could work on. And number one, friendly judge. Out of the gate, Trump seemed to win the judicial lottery when, in an apparently random twist of fate, his case landed before U.S. District Court Judge Aileen Cannon, one of his appointees and one of his favorite judges. That's what Politico reported. There are several ways Cannon could steer the case to Trump's advantage, up to and including unilaterally acquitting him of any or all of the 37 counts under Rule 29 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. After the prosecution and defense present their cases, Trump's lawyers could ask for a Rule 29 acquittal, and Cannon could agree, essentially asserting that no reasonable jury could find the plaintiff guilty under the evidence presented at trial. If she acquitted Trump before handing the case to the jury, the New York Times reported, that outcome would be final, and prosecutors could not appeal it. Cannon would also have subtler ways to shape the trial, including deciding when to hold the trial, what evidence is admissible in court, what classified documents are made public, and who sits on the jury, among other rulings. There are so many little things she can do without any real oversight that can have significant substantive impact on how this prosecution plays out, said National Security lawyer Mark Zaid to Politico. There is also the very real possibility, and it's a possibility that no one should ignore, of a hung jury. It would obviously be better for Trump if the jury did not convict him, and some members of his legal team are arguing that the case is winnable at trial through careful jury selection. One juror is all a defendant needs to convince to avoid conviction. That, as reported in the Washington Post. Every juror is important, because if all 12 can't decide on a verdict beyond a reasonable doubt, it's a hung jury, and then it's considered a mistrial. And in quotes, prosecutors would then have to decide whether to start over with a new trial. Most unlikely. That's according to the New York Times. Judges typically encourage jurors to reach a consensus, but if there is an early disagreement, a judge could also kneecap the government by immediately declaring a mistrial. How long would they have to debate on this issue? If there is one or two or even three members of the jury who do not want to find Trump guilty. And then the Pete Weber puts in his final way that President Trump could actually deploy a winning strategy on this trial. Smith, that would be Jack Smith, of course, the special prosecutor, has said he will push for a speedy trial, But Trump has long pursued a strategy of trying to delay legal proceedings against him to run out the clock. Once again, Judge Cannon is really in the driver's seat in terms of the pacing, retired federal judge Nancy Gertner told the Post. The danger here is if it backs up into the 2024 campaign, or if the case lingers until after Trump is reelected, or another Republican is elected, they can direct the Justice Department, new personnel at the Justice Department, to drop charges or to pardon the president. Trump, if elected, could attempt an unprecedented self-pardon. But as Andy McCarthy pointed out, he wouldn't have to. If he wins the election, he could work with a new attorney general who would work in his behalf. Mike Pence, who is running an increasingly serious campaign for President of the United States, Mike Pence actually was on Fox Business with Larry Kudlow. And all of a sudden, he is sounding much more concerned about the charges against his former boss. Listen, this is clip 13.
I was saddened, as people around the country were, to see a former president of the United States literally indicted in a court of law. And no one's above the law. I've said then and I've said since this first came to light that, look, that every American's entitled to be presumed innocent until proven guilty, and that includes former President Trump is entitled to a presumption of innocence. That being said, I looked at this indictment over the weekend, and there are serious charges in this indictment. Now, the president's entitled to make his defense. I look forward to hearing what defense he might have, but I can't defend what is alleged for the reasons that I stated. I mean, I've got a son who's a captain in the Marine Corps. I've got a son-in-law who's a lieutenant in the Navy. I know the risk that, as I said, even inadvertent release of classified information about our national security could present to our armed forces.
Okay, those risks are very real. And they do need to be confronted in analysis about this trial and what is going on. Tomorrow on the Medved Show, we will welcome a brand new presidential candidate. No, not Francis Suarez. We'll have him, too. But a guy named Doug Burgum, who is a multimillionaire, who is also president or governor of North Dakota, wants to be president of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master plan destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.